Yetumim, Hashes, Emorah.
Good morning. Morning, thank you very much again for the opportunity to be share some Divrei Torah. In these days, obviously, between Pesach and Shavuos, Hachana Kabbalah Satorah, every additional Kabbalah Satorah is accepted, and obviously everyone's supposed to be Kabbalah Torah in their own Kabbalah's personal Kabbalah Satorah. So for me, it's a special privilege to be able to be here these days to be able to share some Divrei Torah. I'd like to talk about a Shaila, which is not as uncommon as one might think. What happens is you have a scenario, a person, someone selling something, you have a person buying something, and you have a person in the middle. And the person in the middle, I'm going to see what he is exactly. Is he a broker? Is he an agent? What's the difference? He sees an opportunity for a good deal going on. Opportunity for a good deal, someone's selling something, someone buying something, everyone's happy, it's a good price, why shouldn't he also be happy? So he goes and he alters the terms of the sale slightly. So he knows the person's happy to sell it for this price, he knows the person's happy to buy it for that price, it's a good deal even if he adds on, let's say, another £10,000 to whatever it is, and everyone will be happy, and he'll also be happy. So the shayla is, what is the halacha in such a case? And it's nogea to several different aspects. The shayla is, first of all, he wants to get paid for his job. He's getting a commission on the sale. It's a very common scenario by properties. He wants to get paid for the sale. Did he do his job properly? Second question is the sale valid? It means the person selling it can say, well, had I known that I could get more for the property, I wouldn't have sold it for that price. The person buying it can say, had I known that really the person selling it was willing to sell it for less, and you're the one who came and interfered, I wouldn't have bought it for that price. I only paid that price because I thought the person selling it was asking for that price. There are shailas of Oino, which I don't want to get into, which can be when a person's overcharged or underpaying, which itself can invalidate a sale. There's a question, which is the main point of the shiur, which I want to talk about today, is who does this money actually belong to? This is very often, this is where the question crops up. You have a person selling, person buying, and the person in the middle adds to the price, unknowingly or knowingly, and afterwards, everyone becomes aware of the situation. The question is, who does that money belong to? There's several options here. The person selling the property says, effectively, you sold my property for more money. The person buying the property says, no, the person selling it was sold it for less, and I paid it thinking that was the price. That's not really the price, so I want the money back. The person in the middle says, well, actually, you sold it for that. You bought it for that. The extra money, I keep it. You sold it. I bought it. We'll see the various arguments the person in the middle presents. Sometimes the person in the middle will say, okay, at least I get half of it, and we'll see again what the argument might be that he should get half. And then sometimes arises a question, a separate question, questions of professional negligence. I mean, you employ somebody to do a job for you, so it could be he sold it for the price that whatever sold it was sold it for, but he could have achieved a better price. So the damages that incurred are the loss that you could have sold that resulted as him not having done his job properly. You paid the professional to do a job. He doesn't do his job properly, and you suffer a loss as a result of that. It could be his job was to sell it for the best price. It could be for the buyer paid him a commission to find him the best available, property available for his investment. And therefore, he's being paid to do a job. He hasn't done his job properly. The person who paid him to do the job has suffered the loss as a result of that. And that's a question of professional negligence. Again, that's not the main subject here, but I just want to point out the shayas that come up. I'll tell you three stories. They're all true stories. So one story is the simplest case. A person asks somebody, do me a favor, I would like to sell my house. I'm moving. I need to achieve this and this price. The person comes back to him and he says to him, listen here, I've got good news for you. Not only have you achieved the price you asked for, I've got 20,000 higher, and I'd like to propose that we should get 50-50 on this one here. You are willing to sell a property for £250,000. I've got you over your expectations, over and above my hard work. I've found somebody who's willing to pay £270,000. Okay, it's your house, but I did the work. I did more than what you wanted. Let's split that extra difference. That was one story. Another story is, similar story, a fellow's shooting to his chava, and he says, you know, if I could get £250,000 for that house, for my house, I'd be willing to sell it. I'm not necessarily willing to sell it, but if I get £250,000, I'd be happy to sell. And, okay, shooting to him. As it happens, he's speaking to another friend. Another friend says to him, if that fellow, I know he's thinking about selling his house, you know, maybe approach him, because maybe he'll sell it, I'll give him a good price, I'll be prepared to buy that house for £300,000. So now he's got information from the seller, willing to sell for £250,000. He's got information from a buyer independently, he's not paid, he's not commissioned, no, that hasn't been paid, but he's got information that he's got someone who's willing to buy it for £300,000. He thinks to himself, okay, I'll tell the buyer, I get you. You wanted to get £250,000 for your house. I get £250,000 for your house. Yeah, tell the seller you want to get £250,000 for your house. I get you £250,000. I'll tell the buyer you're willing to get the house for £300,000. I can get it for you for £300,000, and the £50,000, I'll work out what to do with it myself. True story. The third case is just the other way around. Is from an investor's point of view. Somebody gave somebody money to buy a property for investment. And gave him £50,000 to invest. He had a small property somewhere. And he bought him the property and he's getting a rent. Years later, he gets hold of the land registry document and he sees that their initial sale price was £30,000. So he calls up the fellow and he says to him, what's going on? I gave £50,000. You told me you bought a house with it. And I see the house only costs £30,000. So he says, well, you know, I don't find your houses. No, my business, I buy houses. I refurbish them. I put in a tenant, and then I sell them on to people looking for that type of house. So yes, so I bought that house for £30,000. I refurbished it. I put in a tenant, and I sold it to you for £50,000. So that's, what do you mean? You bought the house. There was refurbishments. Fine, give me a list of expenditure. I'll pay you for the refurbishments, whatever it costs. It's my house. I bought it for £30,000. If any expenditure you did, send me the bill. But my house was £30,000. True stories. So the shayla is, what's the halacha in all these cases? And what really boils down to, what the crux of the shayla boils down to, is analyzing what the role of the person in the middle is. What is his identity? Broadly speaking, there are three possible identities you can have, three different hats the man in the middle can have, and the argument centers around what was his role, what exactly was he doing. The three different possible roles he could be in halacha. He could be a shliach. A shliach is translated as an agent, but the term agent in English has a broader aspect than what we mean shliach. In halacha, when you make somebody a shliach to do something for you, he is the one who's actually doing it for you. An agent can do that in law as well. You're living abroad, you appoint somebody to sell the house for you. You give money to somebody to buy the house. They are doing the sale, they are doing the purchase. They are acting, they're representing the buyer, they're representing the seller, they're acting on their behalf. That's the halacha of a shliach. They are affecting the mechira. They are affecting the sale. They're being part of the sale. Then you can have the person in the middle, he's a mitaveich, a shadchan, essentially a broker. Broker is different to shliach. A broker, he puts two people together. He gets a commission for finding a buyer. when the seller wants to buy, he gets a commission perhaps from finding a seller, from the buyer, whatever it is. But essentially, he puts the buyer and the seller together. He says, you're looking to buy something? Hey, this person wants to sell. Go speak to him. Get your solicitor to speak to his solicitors. Connect those people together. That is what a broker does. So, his job is to find a buyer. His job is to find a seller. Put the buyer and the seller together, you get your commission. But when it comes to the actual transaction of the sale, he's not part of that transaction. He's not representing the buyer or the seller in the sale itself. He's helping them find, locate, identify, assist them maybe the process. But essentially, he isn't part of that sale. Shachar. And then, the third category you could have is the argument that these two people were having. He says, I bought the property myself. I'm not a broker. I'm not an agent. I'm a buyer and a seller. The seller sold the property to me. I bought the property from him. And then I sold it on to the buyer. So I'm a seller. So my role in the middle is buyer and seller. Beg your pardon?
Not using the
animal's
money for it.
Oh, so we'll see. We'll have to see. How do you identify what's one of the criteria? How we identify who's what? But those are the essential different hats. And the argument very often centers around what was the person in the middle. And depending on what he was, will affect the shailas that we're talking about. The shailas, what are the makaris in Shulchan Aruch? Some of the things have clear makaris. Some of the things have makaris that are clearly not, and there are some things which don't have clear makaris. So, one makor is in Hilchos Shlichus. Somebody sends a shliach to buy something. He sends a shliach. Do me a favor. The case there, the one I was talking about, he sends him to buy a kilo of something. Kilo of potatoes, whatever it is, bag of potatoes. Know the price of kilo of potatoes. He goes to the shop, and the storekeeper gives him extra, over and above normally what you get for that money for a kilo. Normally the price of a kilo of potatoes is, right? He says, well, it's £2.50. He gave him £2.50 for a kilo of potatoes, and the shopkeeper says, "Here, I'm giving you extra." So what's the halacha in that case? Who does that extra belong to? So halacha in Shulchan Aruch says it's half. Half. As I say in halacha. So says the fellow in this case, in the first case, there was this argument. I want to get half. You asked, you were willing to sell your property for this amount. I got you extra. I did the job, I got you extra. So the halacha says, you send the shliach to buy something, or sell something, same thing, and you get extra over the price. So then, it's split half. What's the reason for that? It's machlokes, and then showing him what exactly the reason is. Okay, could be, yeah, fair enough. See, the problem is, it's a flaw in the reasoning, and it's clear because the halacha is not halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So this shaila of selling something more than the price is brought down in Siman Kuf Pehe in Shulchan Aruch. And it's based on a Tshuva Sarosh. And Tshuva Sarosh says clearly that you give your item to somebody to sell. And you tell him you want to get this price for it. And the Shiach gets you a higher price for that item. The money belongs to the vendor, to the Meshaleach. The person who's selling the item receives all the extra money. And the Torah says, the smart brings down, and that's even if the person selling it is aware that it has a higher value. He's aware he could achieve a higher value for it. He's desperate to get cash right now. He's willing to sell it for a reduced price. The Meiser, the Shiach, went and achieved the full value for the item. So he says to the Shiach, thank you very much. You did an honorable job. You did far more. You achieved far more than was expected of you. Thank you very much. But you sold my item for more money. That item belongs to the vendor. Question is, how does one reconcile those two halachos? And the answer is, if you look at the Makori, the source is based on the Gemara in Kesubos, Gemara in Kesubos Tzadik Gimel, and Gemara in Ksubas makes a chiduk. And the Gemara says, and it's brought down, this chiduk is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that there's a chiduk between a dova kotzuv and a dova she'enoi kotzuv. Something which is a fixed unit, and something which is not a fixed unit, something which is variable. And the Mefarshim explain the yesoid hachiluk. There's a yesoid hazik hachiluk, and that is as follows. When you send somebody to buy a kilo of potatoes, a bag of sugar, and there's a fixed price for a bag of sugar, there's a fixed price for a pint of milk, and the shopkeeper here says, take something extra, here, take this candy, take this milk munch with your chocolate, that is not part of the sale. The sale, we know what a price of pint of milk is, we know what the price of a kilo of sugar is, we know what the price of a kilo of potatoes is. The shopkeeper has given something extra to the shliach, which is not part of their sale, so then that was given to the shliach. On the other hand, true, it was given to the shliach, but he didn't just give it to him. He gave it to him because he bought a bag of milk, a pint of milk. Bought a pint of milk. Here, take this chocolate. Take this extra. So therefore, halacha is split it. Why? Because it wasn't given to the sale. It wasn't part of the sale. It was given to the shliach as an extra, not part of the sale. But you needed the sale to get that extra. So they're both two ingredients together are essential to get it. So therefore, it's split. Well, but where's...
Why someone to buy a send by a bottle of milk, here's the pound, here's the milk, and it turns out the shop's got a deal on today, two for one.
Okay, that's the number. No, clear, McClure for that as well. Let's see that. Where something becomes part of the sale, that means you sold the item for more money, you achieved the full value. True, that wasn't your instruction, but he was a shliach nemon, he was a dutiful worker, a dutiful employee, and he, or not employee, even as a shliach, he did his job over and above what was expected of him. But when he did the transaction, he was selling the item for its value. That was the money achieved, was money achieved for the sale of that item. That money belongs to the seller of the item, the mishaleach, who sent it. You sold my item. The converse is true in a similar case. What happens? Someone says money. And he says, I owe so-and-so money. I have a debt, £100,000. Go to him. Here's £100,000. Please settle my debt. He gives him £100,000. Go settle the debt. He goes up to him and he says, so-and-so has, you know, he owes you £100,000. He wants to settle his debt. Listen, do me a favor. I can work it out for you. Yeah? But be a mensch. You know it's hard for him. Give him a discount. Give him a break. Settle it for £90,000. You know, he'll settle the debt. We'll do it. We'll cancel all of it. I'll get it worked out for you. Settle the debt. Be mindful of the whole debt. Write off the other £10,000. You'll get your £90,000. The debt will be settled and we'll move on. And the fellow says, okay, sounds good to me. You mask him? Mask him. Here's £90,000, and he gives him £90,000. He had £100,000 in his pocket, but he negotiated the deal, a break, for the fellow. And he's got £10,000 left in his pocket. Who does that £10,000 belong to? Says the halacha, it belongs to the meshaleach. The money has not changed ownership. It belongs b'rishusa d'more kaima. It's still within his rishus. You're holding my money. I asked you to do something with it. It became unnecessary to use that money. It was unnecessary to do it. It became redundant. But that money hasn't transferred ownership from the sender to the shliach. Well, how did it become the shliach? So it wasn't given to him. It was given to him for a purpose.
The
shliach
made the deal.
The shliach made the one. He did a wonderful friend. He'll get flowers for Shabbos. You give him a box of chocolates, but the money doesn't become his. Yeah. You did it a few times, yeah? What? You buy the debt off you, right? Exactly. And you pocket the 10,000? Or you?
I'll
sell,
buy the debt from you.
Oh, you buy it? Oh, so if you're buying, sorry, but if. Oh, so this is where it becomes critical. So. The Meshaleach was asking to give the money for the debt. He parted with it in his mind, this money is going for his debt. And it turns out, no, it became unnecessary. Yeah. You gave him money to buy something, and it turns out that the price was cheaper than he thought. It's reduced. You go to the shop, give them the money, and it turns out they have a clearance sale, it's a high price. The money belongs to the person who you send it to.
You know, there's two places.
So you get so we have to recognize the tikh that you put in. That's I'm going to get to that as well.
I think there's a Mishnah.
changed from the das to the Bala Bais. He's done it for more. If he's done it for more, if he's done it for more, then he's not done his sikhs properly. Maybe. So he's not done his sikhs properly, maybe. Because there he's not done his sikhs. But here he's done the sikhs properly. Wonderful. So then the argument becomes, so what's the halacha? So let's say halacha quickly. So let's just identify these three things. So the halacha is like this. The halacha is like this. In the case of a shliach, it's clear halacha and a shliach who's effectively doing the sale, and he's part of the sale, he's representing one party, so then what he does becomes part of the sale. So if he tells the buyer, I'm selling you this property for 250,000, the buyer is and he's representing the seller, it became part of the seller's deal. He sold the house for 250,000, and that £250,000 will belong to the seller because he's representing the seller. And he'll get his commission on the £250,000 because that was, he'll get his 1% or 2% on £250,000 because that was the sale price. The sale price is £250,000, and if the seller thinks he's selling it for £230,000, he has to inform him, no, I actually sold your house for £250,000. People often think, by the way, you know, you can't do this in England. I'm telling you, this is Maisim B'cholyoy, Maisim Shahoyu, Maisim Shayiyu. These happen the whole time, and there are different ways that it works. How can it work? Because the lawyers are solicitors. If you want to know how it works, I'll tell you that afterwards. Yeah, but these are Maisim B'cholyoy. So that is the case of a shliach. So where there's a shliach involved, representing either party, effectively they are doing the sale. What happens is, when he's a broker, that's the question. When he's a broker, there's a very fine London Shechiluk here, and that is as follows. When the broker interfered, and he told the buyer a higher price than the real price, so he's not part of the sale. He's just putting the two people together. He gave misinformation to the buyer, but he isn't really affecting the sale. He can't affect the sale price, because he's not part of the sale. He's just connecting the buyer and the seller. So then there's an argument to say that this money does not become part of the sale price. If it doesn't become part of the sale price, who does the money belong to? It will belong to the buyer. That means the buyer gave more money than the sale price to the middleman for what he thought was to buy the house, but it wasn't really to buy the house because the broker couldn't affect the sale price because he's not a manda omahe. He's not an agent of the buyer, he's not an agent of the seller, he can't create terms of the sale. So he gave misinformation to the buyer, so it's very possible that he has to return that money, in a case when he's a broker, back to the buyer and not to the seller. If he's an agent of the seller or an agent of the buyer, then it's very possible that he may have, there's an argument he may not have been authorized to represent the seller, the buyer on those terms, but either way, when he's an agent or a broker, the money definitely does not belong to the middleman. It either becomes part of the sale, or it remains the money of the buyer. The only argument is, sorry? If I was giving him a commission, he gave him a commission. If it's transparent, there's no question about it. But when they're transparent, there's no issues. The whole issues are when there's no transparency. If he says, yes, you end up selling it for 230, and you want to sell it, and he wants to pay 250, and I'm taking £20,000 off my commission because I found a deal, and anyone knows, anyone's aware, then there's no shyness. Issues arise when there's no transparency. So, the only exception is when the person in the middle says, I bought it, and I sold it on for more. That's the exception. Then he's entitled to make a profit. He bought it and he sold it, and that's always the person in the middle saying, "I bought it and I sold it on." So, how do you identify whether it's true or not? First question is the gentleman taking a commission? He wants his commission as well. You realise that you want your commission. You're not a buyer and a seller, because you're a buyer and a seller. You don't take a commission. Number two is whose money did you use to do the sale? Someone gave you money. You use that money for the sale to purchase the property. You can't say you bought it for yourself. That wasn't given to you. It wasn't given to you to purchase for yourself. conditions. Well, you see the bank transfer, maybe the funds. You see the movement of money sometimes. It doesn't always work. I'll tell you why in a minute. Conditions. What are the terms of sale? You bought it and you sold it. Well, on what terms did you purchase and sale? What are the conditions of purchase? But critically, the critical element is, because all these pointers are useful pointers, but you can have a ways around it. For example, if someone does what's known as a back-to-back, you can do an exchange on completion on one day, and you can do the exchange, and you can do, that means as follows, I'm buying a property, I'm doing the exchange and completion on the same day, and on the same day, and I'm using the same sitters, I'm doing exchange and completion to pass on to the next buyer. So I'm buying it, I'm exchanging and competing, and immediately I'm doing the exchange and completion, I'm passing on to the next buyer. So I bought and I sold. And it's all happened within the same transaction, within the same systems, within the same time frame. It's all instant. And so the money isn't really an argument because he has to give me money. So those funds I just passed on, so it's all the same funds. So you can't really look at the money trail. It doesn't really help. But the critical element is, where does the responsibility lie? That means if it turns out there's a problem with the property, so the buyer, who does he go back to? The buyer doesn't go back to the middleman and say, you sold me this property, it's deficient, it has these problems and it's faulty and it's got thing, and you misinformed me on the terms of the sale and therefore you're liable. Or does the middleman say, listen here, I never sold you this property, it was sold by Yenna, you had problems with the property, Yenna's responsible. And that is the critical element here. If the middleman has no responsibility for the sale, he's not the buyer and he's not the seller. Now, if it was done very often, the people in the middle have some sort of limited chus. Really, 99% of the time, the person in the middle is not entitled to take that extra cash. He's a broker, he's an agent, he's not a buyer and a seller. It's unusual. There are people who buy and sell, there are people who flip the properties immediately, but that's the exception. Normally, the person in the middle says he's a broker or agent, but he could have flipped it. He could have bought it and sold it. Had I not got the money, I would have bought it and sold it. So that answer is you would have, you could have, you should have, but you didn't. That isn't what you did. You could have bought it and sold it, but you know there's no migu that I could have bought it and therefore I become the buyer and seller, I can take the extra money. No, it's not your property. You didn't sell. You sold somebody else's property. The sale price doesn't go to you, it's not relevant to you. The other limitschus that people try, and Moya Heter are, they're not limitschus, and Moya Heter is not limitschus, they're Moya Heter, and they say, listen, it's true I sold the property for more than you asked for more. Yeah? And it's true that a normal agent charges 1%, 2%. But if you would have gone to a normal agent and would have charged 1% or 2%, you will never have achieved the price that I got for you. Do you know how much work I had to put into this? Do you know what I did? I ran around, I paid for advertising, advertising that brochure, I advertised on that website, I paid for this, did social thing. No other broker in the world would have done what I did for you for his 1% or 2%. Okay, so maybe a tiner, but it still doesn't make the money in the middle belong to you. That means you had extra expenditure, and don't forget, that extra expenditure, the extra gains of the profit is beneficial to him himself because his percentage is on the final sale price. So if the final sale price goes up, his commission goes up. So he says, nonetheless, for that fee, that 1%, it wouldn't have been worth my while. It's true. Okay, so maybe you had extra expenditure and maybe you did an extra work and maybe we're going to pay you over and above your 1%. Maybe you'll get 1.5%. Maybe you'll get 2.5%. But it doesn't make you a balabos of the money involved. So for listening, and please pass on. Yeah.